Annie Altman Show podcast and other projects are field research for the Hugh Manny. Hey, it's Annie. Please check out and share the website, Patreon, and Etsy to help support these projects and my self-project. The Hugh Manny is a one-woman show about how no one ever fully figures out how to be a human being, how there's themes of the human being experience organized into 10 C words connected by the theme of connection, and how discussing these themes we all experience somehow is my best idea to contribute to minimizing unnecessary human suffering through maximizing resource equity. That was a lot of words. Maybe note when you hear the words connection, consciousness, choice, change, compassion, communication, community, creation, charge, curiosity, and or courage in this episode. That's also a lot of words. Here's some more. Hello and welcome to the Annie Altman Show, the podcast, season 5. Welcome to the Consciousness Series, episode 8 with Michael Murphy, coming on the podcast for the second time from podcast episode 3, now to podcast episode 82. And we're going to be talking about the stories we tell ourselves. The phrase, we are the stories we tell ourselves. Michael and I met when I was living on and he was traveling through the Big Island of Hawaii, and now we are recording remotely from different coasts, essentially. And since the first time that he came on the podcast, he has done all sorts of new trainings and exploring. And I'm going to turn it over to you, Michael, to share a little bit about what you've been up to and what you're interested in. And welcome back on the podcast.
Thank you. So in the past, 2 years now, I've been doing a lot of traveling and simultaneously doing a lot of grounding in. So I live in Arkansas currently, in the Northwest Arkansas area. And I've really, in the past year, been grounding in with a community here, bringing a lot of the things that I've picked up and learned from all over the world, like ecstatic dance and laughter yoga and just like conscious community offerings in general, and creating containers for that for this local community. And I also did lots of traveling. Like, I went to India this year to get trained as a laughter yoga teacher. I've done some traveling to the West Coast last year and got really connected in with a bunch of really beautiful humans out there who are highly conscious and highly connected. And yeah, life's been really, really interesting following the flow from here to there, and then being here for long periods of time. I've been all over the place.
Yeah, you've been all over, and you also got your massage certification and you were planted.
Yeah. So I'm a licensed massage therapist. I practice mostly neuromuscular technique and kind of like an intuitive blend of a few other things too. Myofascial plays a big role. And then getting planted was like huge. That happened while I was out in California. One of my most profound moments was in my Humanitree experience, which is a part of the Humanitree movement, which has been going on for 17 years now. And it's a process of getting planted up to the knee in living soil and going through this little silly celebration of being a tree. And then when you uproot at the end of the celebration, you plant a fruit tree in its place. It's one of the most powerful things I've ever done. And I think one of the most powerful practices to share with the world. I've got a bunch of people like wanting to get planted soon now that it's spring. And I'm so excited to get my hands in the dirt.
What fruit tree did you plant?
I have a soul connection to an apple tree in a little community in Northern California called the Heartland Collective. I can't remember the specific variety. I think it was like a green apple.
That could be fun to have it as a mystery too, or a semi-mystery.
Well, in the way I say it, like, I feel very connected to the tree and it hasn't fruited yet. So when it fruits, I'll know.
Then you will see the story of your Humanitree planting experience.
Yeah, it'll be the next chapter. Right now we've got the planting and the rooting, and then the fruiting comes next. I guess flowering gets to come first.
Refer to the story.
Oh,
Refer to the story. Thanks for sharing the things you've been up to.
absolutely. Thank you for asking.
I'm curious to see a day where that is a more normalized thing. Or maybe it will, for a much longer time period, be something that sounds very outlandish to a big number of people, while also very intriguing and enjoyable to people, to myself. I definitely have a bit of that, like, oh my gosh, like the silliness of it. And it.
Well, in my experience with it, it's been almost unanimously accepted and built a lot of excitement. When I share it with people, they get really excited and they want to do it. And a lot of the people that I've shared it with have already like taken the tools and the idea and they've ran with it. But I've only really, there's only one person I've ever shared it with who was like, nah, it doesn't sound like it's for me. And that was my dad, but yeah. Everybody else I've shared it with has been super excited about it. And like, I'm really excited to start to see a bunch of people get planted and plant trees. Just more trees.
Yeah, it's nice that it brings that part in while also being a very intense form of grounding or getting your feet in the dirt, standing on the ground.
Yeah. And as far as talking about consciousness, for me, it was really deeply empowering to like a shift in my consciousness. I had like a visionary experience while in the dirt. And there's some science to back this up of like grounding science of like neutralizing your electric charge. But then also like the microbes in the soil itself have a chemical reaction with your feet, which are very sensitive. And in my experience, it was like using like plant medicines. I had a full visionary experience. It was really deeply powerful, connecting me with not only like a life mission, but also connecting me deeply with the earth. I was having lots of visions of seeing like the area I was in from like a bird's eye view, like astral projection kind of. But I also had visions of like myself walking to the bottom of the ocean and seeing this like portal to like another world. And all of this was in very coherent conscious space with a superimposed vision over it. So it was, there's something that's going on while you're in the dirt like that, that is very impactful on consciousness.
Wow. Wow. Did you have the conscious thought of like, whoa, I'm planting tripping right now, or like, this is similar to this feeling while it was happening?
Not until I got out of it. While it was happening, it just came on so quickly that I just like went with it. Like I'm fairly experienced when those visionary states come up, and I had that feeling going into the ceremony that like I was about to go into ceremony. Like I was about to go and sit down and drink a plant medicine or like something. Like I had that tingle excitement sensation in my body. And so once it started happening, it was just like, oh, this is happening, and I went with it. It took me like, I ended up seeing you actually in like the week after, and I was like super spacey. It took me like 2 weeks to really like integrate and pack everything back in afterwards. It was extremely expansive, but I've also received information from the creator of the humanitarian movement that I had one of the biggest emotional releases and experiences that he's seen. So like, that's not, it's like your mileage may vary. Like, not everybody has these like enormously expansive experiences. I did, and other people have, but is that the norm? Probably not.
The plant medicine comparison and getting planted is interesting too. And that
It's
grounding.
planted medicine.
So in terms of, let's start with that experience and connect it with we are the stories we tell ourselves. How did With that big emotional release and the whole experience, how did your story shift? What were your stories going into it and coming out of it?
So to start, I kind of want to give the background of We Are the Stories We Tell Ourselves. I'm not totally sure where that came into my story, that phrase, but it's become a really powerful part of it. And what that means to me is we are always in the now. There is no past. There is no future. The story that we tell ourselves in the now creates the past and creates the future. And depending on the language you use and the emotion you pack into that story, it changes what has happened outside of the now. So in reference to my humanity planting, the big shift in my story was that I had this undeniable sensation and feeling that I am connected to the earth at large. I am Gaia. I am part of Gaia. And in that, I am also loved by Gaia unconditionally. Like, I felt so much love pour through me. I also felt a lot of pain. Like, the world is in a lot of pain. And I no longer can dissociate the pain of the world from my own pain. So there's this really deep shifting in me of seeing, like, environmental, like, activism and environmental shift is not to save the planet. It's to save me. And by saving me, I'm saving the planet. It's this, there's no more separation there. I feel like we all are connected. I see we all are connected. And I know that the best way to benefit the whole is to check in with myself and make sure that everything that I see, do, and feel is in alignment with me. Because if it's in alignment with me, then it's also in alignment with the planet at large. Now that that consciousness has been, like, fully integrated.
Wow. I feel like that is the, whenever people talk about enlightenment and understanding and deepening consciousness, so much of it is that root and that sense of safety, trust, stability, enoughness, interdependence. Seeing your, like you talked about during the experience of being planted, the bird's eye view.
Yeah, and that was kind of the wild part of it, where that was where I had, like, evidence that what I was seeing in my visionary state was real. Because I was getting these bird's eye view of this area that I'd never really explored. And then a couple days later, when I left the property, I drove these back roads that I did not take on the way in that I had seen from a bird's eye view, like, in that vision. And I was seeing all these, like, specific trees and rock formations that I had already seen. Like, I was like, and I'm going to see this when I come over the hill. And it was there. So I was, like, really, what? Like, blown away that what I was seeing in my visionary state was reality.
What? That's so cool. Whoa. That would be a trippy, again, sober, trippy experience to be driving and be like, oh, I'm going to predict what's around that corner. Or I not predict, I know. Wow, that sort
of... Yeah, it was definitely a knowing, and it got me laughing a lot. Like, I already laugh a ton, but I was just, like, laughing that whole ride because it was just, like, I felt, like, in a way, I felt like I was, like, driving through, like, I was this little ant driving through myself as the anthill, like, just, like, a piece of me with another piece of me, and I felt like I knew myself fully in that moment, and a lot of that has carried on, like, that still informs a lot of my story to this day.
That experience?
That experience, yeah, that particular drive was one of the more memorable moments of my life recently.
Well, with stories, we only have the capacity for so many of them at a time. And I feel like this is part of where memory is so malleable, is that certain memories, certain stories end up staying with us and informing our actions and our feelings for longer and just more intensely than other ones.
Yeah. Which, and that's, like, now, that gets down to the core of, like, we are the stories we tell ourselves, which is, like, if the story isn't making you feel good and isn't benefiting not only you, but the planet. Why are you telling that story? And it comes down to like, well, there could be truth there, and you get into these what ifs. But when it comes down to it, we're only in the now, and whatever story you tell of the past literally changes the past. So if you tell these stories that are empowering you in the moment, that makes you more empowered and increases the amount of good or the things you can do in your lifetime.
Yes. Yeah. And all you can do to influence the future is be conscious of what you're saying and doing in the now. The game is so ironic and funny.
Yeah, I agree. It's silly.
It is silly. It is silly. Well, where do you... I know a story for me to work through is even the story of the stories that I tell myself, or having the story that I say mean things to myself, or that I focus on these things, and changing that story, or even changing the story of what I'm allowed to focus on. I'm curious, did you ever have an experience, or have you talked to people with a similar sort of experience as I'm describing, where part of the story rut can be, oh, I'm not allowed to focus on the good things, and I'm not allowed to choose the positive thought?
So I refer to that as like a limiting belief. And when I really like narrow it down, I feel like almost all belief is limiting, because that's like a meta story. That's like a program that you're playing out as your human experience. And becoming aware of the program of like, oh, I'm not allowed to do this. Well, that's a step forward, because now you realize that that can be conceptualized, but releasing that sometimes takes some work. And that's where like other exciting stories come in and fill in, and can basically just like, we only have the capacity for so much, like you'd already said. So if you start to fill in stories that are more in alignment and bump out those limiting stories, those limiting beliefs, at one point there's just no more space for that anymore, and it doesn't get reciprocated. It's not brought back to life every time an action comes up. And I feel like the meta stories like that limiting belief of like, I'm not allowed to do this thing, or I can't do that. Those meta narratives, like, they begin to fall away when you really live in the now, because you see them as these external stories. And if it's not relevant to what's actually happening, like, you know, in any given moment that you can do whatever you want. And so when those like kind of like mind level meta narratives start to get like exposed as they are, they become less likely to get like retold.
I love you using the word exposed there. That's definitely the feeling of it for me, and the feeling of it with people I'm close with when I'll ask them questions about something, of being like, oh, maybe this is some limiting belief that can be easier sometimes to notice in other people, or then you notice it in other people because I am doing that same one. And like you said, question it to start to move forward, or to remember that we're always in the moving forward. That it's, and I, to me, that's the bumping it out too, right? Is when for all the cliches of live in the now and come to the present, and there's a very literal sense of it, of, you know, if you're thinking about flexibility, for example, start stretching. If you are thinking about calling someone, call them. That there is that very action oriented, or even like, you know, if you want to go to sleep, go to sleep. It can bump out those other things by focusing you on where your body is in that moment, and you're grounding and you're being planted.
Yeah. And so like what just came to mind as you were speaking, and I feel like I kind of got a way to integrate the point we're talking about, which is when you're telling those stories about who I am based on past experience, that's not leaving space for who you are in this moment. you're like bringing that past construct, that past story, and replaying that. But if you become aware of those past programs, you come to a transition point. Every story has transitions. Every story has points where things change. So you move from the story of I am this past story to I am changing that past story. And then eventually, as time progresses, that story of like the change transition point will fall away to I am this new thing that I've always wanted to be. Like I am my fullest expression. And then in that, the past even begins to fall away. Like I am this and I have always been this. It's not like negating the past. It's just not telling that story. It's not giving power to it anymore.
Choosing where you're paying attention.
Yeah, and it's just being where you are.
So simple and so easy to make complicated.
So much so, like most stories.
Stories. Yeah, that's even the label of stories is a helpful, for me, way to detach and way to reframe the perspective on it. That it's a story. It's a fucking story. We're living our stories here. And I mean that, yeah, and that sort of a little bit nihilistically, and I do mean it with compassion and with a reminder for me to take it less seriously.
That was exactly what I was going to jump in and say, was like, you can choose to tell if you want to tell a very serious, heavy story or you want to tell a light, playful story. That's entirely up to you. When you become aware of the meme, we are the stories we tell ourselves, in my experience, it was incredibly empowering that like, oh, I really can like rewrite and continue to actively write my entire reality. Like I am the storyteller of my reality. I am influenced and partake in a lot of other realities too, but I am the author of my reality. And in that, I get to choose what comes up and even the tone of the story. Like big, heavy world events happen and that doesn't have to change the tone of my story. It can be a new chapter, of course, but the way that I hold my own self and express myself continues to be my story.
Yes. I love that too, with starting with I am and that consciousness, that grounded, that starting in your own center, all of those labels, that I am the storyteller and just I am. It is very empowering, and it's to even reclaim that story and bumping out the other stories about that negate that. For all of the considerations on free will, there is an empowering reclaiming of the phrase you said of, I can do anything at any moment. Which some of these things sound so cliche and so trite, and it's true, like raise your right hand at this moment, raise your left hand at this moment. There's less limitations. Okay. Then some stories can lead us to believe.
Well, and that's another point where like the story you're telling yourself, it has to be grounded. It has to be integrated into the reality that you experience. So you can't just say like, I can't just start telling a story. Well, I can start telling a story of like, I am an astronaut and I'm floating through space all the time and like hanging out with aliens. I can tell that story, but if it's not grounded in my actual and living, like embodied experience, then there's something missing there. But we can do anything that we want to do, but what we want to do and what we can do is also informed by our place in reality. And so like there is no future and there is no past except what I bring into it, but I am here. And so that is where the story starts. You can't start by placing yourself somewhere else or in another time, because you got to be here right now. And so there has to be that bio embodied feedback of, is the story I'm telling actually reflecting and creating the reality that I'm trying or like attempting to write?
Do you view those as in communication, like it's sort of a conversation between those? I'm glad you brought up that point of like, all right, you know, super hardcore law of affirmation people, this is different from being like, oh, I'm an astronaut.
Yeah. What was the question?
Yeah, I went on two things there. Thank you for asking. Do you feel like it's a conversation between story and reality, biological reality?
Yes and no. I do feel like like any good story has dialogue. There is conversation going on. And I do feel like there is kind of a conversation between myself and the external. So I feel like the earth speaks to me at a very deep level. And I consider that a dialogue. It's not like it is me talking to me, but there is enough in this reality. There's enough of a distinction where I can create two characters out of that. So when I walk outside and the wind picks up right as I walk outside and like look at the trees and like the wind picks up and their leaves start to move, I feel like they're waving hello to me. And so that's the story I tell myself, is those trees are waving hello. They're greeting me. Like, this planet loves me and I love it. That is grounded in the moment, because there are things happening outside of my body and I'm giving it a dialogue. Are they actually saying hello to me? Well, in my story, yes. Other stories may not be so much. It may just be like the wind is shifting and there's like a pocket of warm air and you can go whatever way you want to, but the way that you share it and package it, that's the story. That's the way you tell yourself. That's the way you create the world around you. So I love the concept of magic, and I am a joyful human. So my story is informed, and I see the joy and I see the magic in things. It doesn't mean that I don't feel the density or the other side of it. It's just like the part that I'm telling and the part that I'm experiencing and living through are those like joyful, beautiful, magical moments.
Michael, the joy magician. After Yogi at large. I like you bringing up the grounded earth perspective, because to me that, I was going to ask about this in terms of consciousness and collective consciousness and, you know, our personal stories and the greater story of humans, the world, getting into, again, like touching on free will or the universe or spirituality in whatever sense that means to you. So it's interesting to hear about, or that it's a helpful example to hear about something so tangible and that connection with the earth, with that sense of consciousness, with an earth consciousness, this planet consciousness.
Yeah. So one thing I heard that I feel like I can build on was like the story of the collective consciousness and like the story of human, like humanity. In my story, it comes through, like I process that as gratitude. I am grateful for all those who have come before me. And I am grateful for all those who will follow in my footsteps. Like it's grounded in some native tradition of like thanking the seven generations, like the seven generations before me and the seven generations after me. But in my story, it's like, I don't have to fill out the nuanced pieces in any given moment. If certain stories come alive, like past stories come alive in the now, then I can live those out and tell those and share those. But in any given moment, it's just gratitude, knowing that there was a story before me and knowing that there will be a story after me. And then I guess further in the collective consciousness, and also knowing that there are many stories being told at any given time, and I am the storyteller of my story.
It's like a way to stay cozy in the now. There were moments before this moment. There will be moments after this moment. I am the storyteller of this moment.
And I am grateful.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah, at the very least, I get to witness the story. I get to co-create the story, whatever it is. And wow. Yeah, there is that element of gratitude that comes up again, for as cliche as it can be, or the noticing of things, bringing them into consciousness. It's the Heisenberg principle. Looking at something changes the thing. So noticing something, I feel, yeah, it changes how you're seeing it often to shift the story. I'd be curious to hear more about, well, especially laughter yoga, massage as well. Both of those, I feel like, deal with releasing. And yeah. Again, getting to that part to, again, use the phrase of cliche when people say, just let it go or just let it through. And, you know, oh, just release that other stuff. And in my experience, it can sometimes, that can feel almost like a block, or me wanting to say, well, how do I do it? And massage and laughter yoga are two very tangible tools to help with that part.
Yeah. So both of them tie very deeply into consciousness, at least my approach. So my massage technique, I do a lot of stretching, neuromuscular technique. It's called proprioceptive nervous facilitation. And what the stretching does is it resets your nervous system. And so at a very simple story level, what I am doing is I'm moving people's bodies to remind them and their bodies of how far they actually can move. Because the muscles are memory. They tell a story that is informed by past trauma, whether that's like an occupational kind of like repeated trauma or a single incident from a long time ago, like a car accident or something. But what I do is I inform the muscles in the now that they have more range of motion and they don't need to hold on to those past stories using my hands. So like my hands become the storytellers and I'm telling directly to the other person's tissue. That's like my storytelling integration of what my massage practice does. And in that process, it's wiping out those old stories and informing new stories. And the most common thing that I get from my clients once they get off the table and start to roll their shoulder and like, wow, I couldn't do this before. So that's the transition point. And then laughter yoga has another similar thing. So laughter yoga is self-generated, non-judgmental laughter. And what that is doing is it's rewriting emotional stories of, I am a serious person, I am an angry person, I am a sad person, or I am feeling sadness, like identifying with those emotions. So I invite people and encourage people to let themselves laugh, like, and that's reinforming their system in the now that they can be a joyful person. And in that process, it opens up those old stories of, why are they a sad person? If they can be joyful that easily, why were they sad? Why were they angry? Why were they holding on to it? And it gives their consciousness in the moment space to analyze those old stories as stories and then let them go. And what they're left with is the laughter in that moment, which is joy. Laughter is the transmutation of any emotional energy into joy. So by letting yourself laugh at any moment for any reason, you are being a joyful person. And that is the story that you begin telling yourself as soon as you allow it to start.
Damn, dude. I felt the excitement in all of that. And I know how deeply you integrate this life philosophy into those practices. You're literally offering people new stories and showing them the new stories they're capable of choosing. And like you said, showing them it's a story. So while there is this element of grounded in reality, there's also so much of this that is story, and so is easier to let go than the stories we tell ourselves about the letting go of it.
Yeah, and the phrase, the meme, we are the stories we tell ourselves, is very deeply ingrained into every practice that I do. So that when that came into my consciousness a couple years ago, it like really got deep in there. And so any action I do, any like service I provide, I also provide that information to who I'm working with. I tell them where, like what my grounding is, like where I'm coming from, what I'm working with. And then I help them integrate whatever work I've done into that new meme of we are the stories that we tell ourselves. In my experience, it's one of the most empowering shifts one person can make, of moving from I am this person in the world that influences me to I am the storyteller. And there's also this like beautiful mystical, like it's got a lot of like ancientness to it as well, because when I say we are the stories we tell ourselves, the vision that comes to mind is like ancient like proto-humans sitting around a fire telling stories that have now become this reality that we live in.
Ooh, whoa, that maybe people are doing that now for other future realities.
Absolutely.
But we've seen,
I just told the story of the proto-human, so we're on this like back to nature arc now.
On the circle, potentially?
Yeah, I do see a lot of cyclical nature in reality. And that's part of the story. Like, so any story needs a beginning and an end. And the best beginnings are the ones that provide for the best endings. The best endings are the ones that best provide for a new beginning. So that's like a perfect setup for a cyclical story.
Ooh. So this can still coexist with time being a circle.
Yeah, yeah.
We're seeing it as, oh my gosh, we're seeing it as the bell curve. We're just seeing it as half of a semicircle. We're just seeing that part of it where it seems like there's a beginning, middle, and end.
Yeah, but it's like, it is a circle, but at the same time, if you just like extrapolate it or zoom out, it's still just a point. It's a single point. Like,
ugh, light is a particle and a wave.
Yeah, yeah. I see it as a hologram, like reality is a hologram. So the totality of reality is informed and contained within any single piece or part of it. That doesn't mean that there's not a piece or part of it. It just means that any piece is the whole, and the whole is also all within that one piece.
Mm. And then that story connects you to the story of connectedness.
Yeah. I am all that is. Therefore, all that is me.
Mm. Do you see part of it as a process of finding the stories that are helping all of us connect back to some basic truth, some feeling state, some consciousness state that then we choose different stories, words, labels, paths to get to?
I'm not totally clear on that question. Like, am I looking for the stories that best help people get to like a more baseline story?
I'm asking more about the intention for story, or about where the stories lead us. Like, what sort of consciousness? It wasn't a very clear question. In terms of the objective of stories, or maybe just the path of the story, like what the journey of the story that. Okay, well, I'm not being totally clear because I'm still formulating it in my head, which is that first thinking about like there only being a finite room for stories that we each carry with us or associate with, that for the general human experience, there's really only a finite number of stories, love and be loved, that we're all getting back to. And then you were talking about like holographic experience of reality, and that made me think of like potentially that is your way of accessing back to some overarching human story.
Yeah, I kind of see the question that you're formulating, and what I see is like a way to integrate it. And what came through the strongest as you're speaking was that I'm not seeking like it's not even really desire, but what I'm doing is not trying to create a story that's going to create the best future. I want to tell the story that is the most present. And when you allow logic in, the most present, lively story will create the best future. But if my focus is on the future, which doesn't exist, then I'm not in the present, and I'm actually going to miss things that would bring about that future. So if I live my now in the most now best way that I can, and encourage others that are telling stories, which is all of us, to live their now in the best way that they can to their own standards and understanding of the now, where's their highest excitement, then everybody starts to collectivize and live their most highest life in the present moment. And that breaks down these big pattern stories that many people are stuck in. I see that story of so many people are stuck in these like broadcasted stories, and that's not their story. If everyone lives their story, then we really get this beautiful weave of like this person and this person have this beautiful story to tell together, rather than a bunch of people unexcited to be on these like railroad tracks that are sending them down a story that nobody really wants to be on. That's a ride that nobody really bought a ticket to. But as people start to like wake up in a way to their own power as storytellers, they jump off that story, that train track pre-scripted ride, and begin to tell their own story. And then all collectively, that starts to create a much more interesting story for everybody.
Yeah, I'm with you on the following your own story and creating your own storyline. So to give it a more direct question go of it, do you feel like there are some overarching story tracks that are inherent in our humanness rather than culturally programmed? And I appreciate you bringing up that, because it's not a we're on a destination to a more loving humanity. It's a we can choose. I can choose to be more loving now. I can choose the more loving story right now. In fact, that's all I can actually choose. Then the part of me that does go into, oh, well, what's the pattern? Or what is the logicizing is saying? Oh, well, is that the general, maybe it's seeing it as the general trend?
Yeah, I'm hearing you. And I do see that like there are archetypes. That is a part of my story. There are some like similar like frequencies, like harmonic frequencies in human expression and storytelling. And I see that there is kind of an overarching human story, which the easiest and most clear way I can express that is humans are the storytellers. We have the ability to use language and share this story in a way that literally creates reality. Like the story that you're telling yourselves is not just the words become the matter. Like I tell myself I am going to write a song, and then that shifts matter and creates the music. Or I'm going to build a cob oven, and that moves that story of I'm building a cob oven creates an actual physical thing that I can put a fire in.
I wrote down the overarching human story is that we are the storytellers. And talk about circles. I love that.
It's true. That's where I'm at.
Well, that is again, a very grounded in reality of, you know, you have the idea of, I want to build this thing. And then you say it out loud. And then you move through the steps of manifestation of the thing going from thought to thing.
Yeah, yeah. And it's like in a way, and another, like the word human is like being that uses its hands. If you what? Break down the etymology of the word human. And so we are storytellers. But the stories we are telling are like basically what we're creating. What are we making with our hands? What are we doing? And another baseline storytelling too is like there's a deep ingrained with like the natural world. Like we are built to like pick fruit. Like that's why we have our hands in one way. And like, so that's like where our food comes from. And what we can create with our hands is kind of like where our story gets to come alive.
Wow. I had no idea about human and hand connection.
Yeah, the etymology is one of my like deepest passions. And that's another thing. It was like my passion for etymology, like the history and study of words, where they came from, how they evolve, and memetics, like the study of memes as like bits of culture. Like those were my two like academic focuses when I was in college, like 8 years ago, 9 years ago. And now that has informed this like much more grounded, simpler, like world system of we are the stories we tell ourselves.
Scrolling through memes and choosing the ones to associate with.
Yeah, or creating the memes that
we are making them.
I bring me excitement.
We are the meme creators.
We are the meme generators.
We are influenced by the memes that we encounter.
Yeah, and we are also the memes themselves.
What a beautiful clusterfuck, Michael. How are they all true at the same time?
Because it is.
Because it is. And so it is.
Yep.
It's so fun to process through all the different stories or just observe and know how many infinite more there are to observe of options for stories as a way to expand beliefs about them also. Saying, look at all of the memes humans have come up with. Holy crap.
Yeah. And as part of storytelling, framing is really important too. So it's not only is like, this is a meme, which is a thing. It's how do I present that in the story to make it most exciting? Because there can be memes that are like really difficult and not exciting and you don't want it to be part of your story. But with proper framing and seeing it in the right way, which is like in another like spiritual way of like doing the shadow work, like seeing where its shadow is and like how it's impacting the actual thing you're seeing, that then the framing of that thing that once was difficult then can become exciting.
Because you're shifting your consciousness on it?
Yeah, you're shifting your own perspective, your consciousness, to become, to stay in, like as a storyteller, you're shifting. So it's no longer this thing that's like impossible and difficult and heavy. And it becomes something that is part of a beautiful story. Like you need to have the arcs, like there has to be the light and the dark in a story to make it a story. Otherwise it's just like, why are you telling it? Where's the lesson?
Would you do a compare contrast of the words consciousness and story?
I prefer not to.
Like that doesn't sound good to the stories I'm telling myself.
Well, like comparison, I feel like is a really quick way to devalue both things that you're speaking on. Because what is, it doesn't have to exist in like, I guess comparison is a judgment. It's like a micro way of judging things rather than just accepting them as they are or presenting them as the way you see them.
It adds to you're saying that level of judgment from like in the word comparison, you hear judgment rather than it being a observation.
Yeah, but like, to define the two words, consciousness, consciousness is awareness, which is action, which is being, and story or storytelling is awareness, which is sharing, which is action, which is being. So consciousness means being, storytelling means being. Yay.
Okay. Thanks for getting to part of the root of the question, which is what overlap, or do you see those words as synonymous or connected, or consciousness is so meta to put words to you, to put story to you, stories.
Yeah. And the funny part was, like, I took that question as, like, I assumed you wanted me to say which one was better. And so there was assumption in that. So, like, dissolving that assumption, I was able to get, like, no, there's, like, two ways to say the same word.
Ooh. Yeah, if I had any my pre-thought going into it was, I wonder if he would use those words interchangeably.
And I do, quite a bit, actually. Then it just comes down to preference. Like, I was like, the framing. So if I like alliteration, I think alliteration is one of the silliest things about language, where you can put a bunch of like C words together and it sounds more appealing.
Yeah, well, alliteration is fun. I like it too. I feel like it's a fun reminder that it's made up, being like, we're just playing around with these symbols for sounds we make with our mouth to point at feelings.
So much so. And like, we talked about this previously, but about gibberish, like gibberish in many emerging scientific circles, in medical circles too, gibberish is seen as the language of the future because it very quickly exposes your emotional state. If you're making sounds, but not cognitively processing what is being said, just your emotional content comes through, and that can be expressed very easily and authentically. So in the future, when our baseline needs are perceivably met and communication is less about like getting food into your body, it becomes more of, communication is more of regulating our emotional states. And that can be done without words. It's just sounds. It's just us expressing ourselves. And it comes out as gibberish.
And it is a fun activity to do in the now.
It's so much fun. It's so silly.
So silly. It's amazing how much, to use the word you said of expose again, that it exposes the emotional state. Which maybe, so okay, how do you connect story to emotional state?
That's the framing. That's where like the actual inner work has to be done to really fully like become the empowered storyteller. You have to be aware of the emotional content in your body when you start to tell a story, because that's going to subtly influence the story that you're telling. If you're not clear in what you're experiencing and feeling and going through, you're going to be telling a story and not be fully aware of what's basically building the foundation of it, because that emotional content comes through no matter what words you're saying. Like, people can tell that someone's angry or frustrated or upset, or they're putting it, or that the storyteller, that person is putting in so much extra effort to suppress that emotional content that they're missing the actual like full vibrancy of their story.
Yeah, the vibes don't lie. they, whoever they are, say.
Yeah, so just being fully aware of what's going on in your body and being authentic about it. Like, rather than telling the story of like what you want to tell, if you're feeling really angry about something, talk about you being angry. Like, I am feeling anger right now, and this is where I see it coming from, or this is what I need to move through this anger. Once that has been exposed and has been processed, then you can actually go into telling the story that maybe you wanted to tell, or the story that is fully there. Like, you have to move through things as they are when they arise. You can't just jump to what you want. You have to tell the story that's really there. And the framing is where that beautiful part comes in. Like, the most embodied story is the one in the now. And if you've done the inner work of moving through that emotional content, then you're just, but then some stories are emotional. Some stories do have beautiful emotions rising through them. And that's very part of the human story. It just comes down to, like, you know, the expression that you are. Not everybody tells the emotional stories, and some people do, and that's good too.
There's a whole variety of stories. And I love you're using the word embody there. And also what you were saying before about our body holding on to our stories and potentially showing us stories that we're not conscious in our thoughts that we're holding. And that grounded past to say, yes, we are in the now. And also we are in these human suits that came from other human suits that are connected to nature, that are all of these things that have informed this now.
Yeah. And you can piece it apart. You can just be grateful that there is a story before and there is a story after.
Yeah. Say a big wow at witnessing the story.
Yeah. Being the clear witness, that's one of the best stories. That is the best story because it is telling the truth.
Yeah. That's with laughter yoga experiences, I'm connecting that to another phrase that you love to say of laughing with the cosmic joke or noticing the cosmic joke. And laughter yoga is a way to connect to, for as serious as things can be at times and are in other moments and stories, how much joy and laughter and joke and silliness there is.
So earlier in this conversation, you said like, so it is. And I laughed afterwards. And that's become a full response in my system when I hear so it is because of the cosmic joke. So when people say so it is, that's like ending whatever was just being told. And I immediately start laughing because once what is being told, like once that story ends, all that's left in my experience is joy. And it's like, it's become a very deep part of me now. And I love that part of me where it's just living with the cosmic giggle. Because it's silly. Like even the concept of we are the stories we tell ourselves is a very silly thing when you like try to piece it apart. If you try to get too meta with it and break it apart all the time, then you're not actually telling the story that is being like, that is being informed by the world.
Totally. It's taking deep thinking into overthinking.
Yeah.
Which is a silly thing to do. Which like when someone can step out of that to some degree is another joke. I mean, like, ooh, I'm having a human experience and I notice that part of the experience is about what I'm reflecting on the experience, and I'm going to reflect on the reflecting on the experience.
Yeah. So on the cosmic joke, my similar phrasing to we are the stories we tell ourselves is life is a cosmic joke. We are the punchlines. We are living the punchline. So laugh.
Laugh, human.
It's silly to be alive.
It's so silly. It is so silly. Life is so weird and so humorous. And all the cliches, of all of them, there's so much to be grateful for. There's so much to observe. We get to craft and we get to choose what we're observing to some degree.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that's like, I think that's really where free will comes in, is like, you do have the choice of not only what are you looking at, but the way that you piece together what you're looking at. Like there, of course, is all kinds of things informing that. But when it comes time to actually share that story, you have choice in how you process and what you're looking at and how you process what you are looking at.
Well, and there's some that brings in the joy and the gratitude again to say, wow, I am whatever this I am consciousness experience is, gets to choose where I'm focusing my attention.
Mm-hmm. And the way that you focus it like moves out. It vibrates outward. So if you choose to see and process things and emit or radiate a certain frequency, that's going to influence those around you. And I know that I love and deeply appreciate joy. So I consciously look at things as joyfully as I can, as much as I can, whenever I can. And I see much more joy in my world because of that shift. That's, some people call it manifestation. I call it selection. I like the word selection, but I select joy.
Ooh, that's a new phrase to my ears. I like it. I choose joy, I select joy.
Yeah, because manifestation is another word that means hands. Like mani is hands. So manifestation is implying things that you can directly create with your hands. So it's a very human word. But if you want to get more into the cosmic storytelling being that I see us as being as well, then you get into selection, because that selection is like a word. You can actually use your words to create reality.
Select your stories.
Yeah. Select the story you choose to tell.
While letting your body consciousness inform the selection.
Yeah, and it's being aware of the storyteller. So like the storyteller is still going to be this body. And that's where being informed of like who the storyteller is important, and what they're doing and feeling and experiencing. The storyteller in a way is outside of that body. Like the consciousness is everything. But as you channel all of that thing into a single body, that's when the story needs to be told. Or like is told from an embodied perspective. And then it gets grounded in, and that's what makes it shareable and beautiful in a way.
I appreciate your abilities to go into talking about spiritual concepts while being mindful of the ways that those concepts can at times get into spiritual bypassing and ignoring the body, ignoring societal constructs.
Well, in my story, it took a lot of work to get there. There was a lot of storytelling that was not embodied and that produced some difficulty. So the story that I live most fully now is informed by that past story. I haven't fully worked through that one yet. And because of that, I'm very grateful that I am able to tell these embodied stories perspective and inspire gratitude in others. So thank you.
The constant selection, story selection process. And you're welcome. Mm-hmm.
We are the stories we tell ourselves.
Ugh, maybe I'll get that inked somewhere one day. Seems likely.
That would be so cool.
Be a cool tattoo. That would be beautiful. A cool tattoo. Select that story. When you said select too, I could even see like picking out a book. Or like selecting something on a screen.
Yeah, one of my recurring visions is myself in this like cosmic library. Some people call it the Akash, like the Akashic Records. But I see like this library that essentially has books filled with all of the information that ever has been or ever will be, or that all it is. And like it's a visionary thing. It's not like I go in and can actually read a book and know how to fly a helicopter like the Matrix or anything. But like I just see that a lot of like the way that I live my life is being recorded in this like grand library that doesn't exist in a physical plane. And in that, it's like when I'm telling stories, I select very carefully where my story is being informed from. So, and that comes into like in a spiritual sense, that's what shadow work is like knowing your pre-programs and what is creating the story that you're actively telling. And like basically, it's just like writing a book after reading the best books based on your own preference.
Look at the stories and then write your own.
Yeah.
We're all walking each other home through our stories.
Oh, thank you for bringing in Ram Dass.
That quote is a helpful piece of the stories I tell myself.
Yeah, he's got a lot of I quote him quite frequently in my story too.
And then we can all be connected through our little story quotes.
Yeah.
Any final thoughts, feelings, things that you want someone who's been listening to this to hear?
I love you unconditionally. Thank you. Go in peace.
Thank you for coming on a second time. It's fun to see how different the podcast has been and has transitioned in the stories of the podcast, and getting to have the anchor of you as the storyteller come on again.
Oh, thank you so much for having me again. I love talking to you, and I love being able to share my story in a way that can potentially inspire others or inspire conversation. And yeah, I love it. I love sharing. I love telling my story.
I love your stories about stories.
Yay, the meta stories.
Meta stories and memetics with Michael
Yay.
Murphy.
Yay, joyful human.
The joy magician.
So, giggle wizard is one term that I have adopted.
Michael Murphy, Giggle Wizard.
And facilitation fairy.
Facilitation fairy of storytelling. Thank you so much for coming on again. Thank you for tuning in and listening, and thank you for being you. Hey, thanks for sticking around till the end. Please check out the anniealtmanshow.com and also patreon.com/theanniealtmanshow if you're able and interested in donating a dollar or more per month to these projects. Non-dollar ways to share value includes and is not limited to sharing anything, the podcast, any YouTube video, any blog post, any social media account, subscribing, following anywhere, rating or reviewing anything, sending any feedback or ideas, and or connecting me with people for the podcast or other projects you feel would enjoy this work. In my opinion, word of mouth is the only, quote, real advertising, so here I am using words from my mouth.